Good evening and welcome to Living in the North State, coming to you live from downtown Reading studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm here with my awesome co-host, Bill Woodford. How's it going on, Bill?
It is good. I'm a little bit punchy. I just drove in from Sacramento and literally walked in the door 2 seconds ago.
The marathon drive.
Right, exactly. It was a rush to get here on time.
Well, shoot, we appreciate you being here. Am I coming in loud and clear on my mic here?
Yeah, I can hear you well.
Awesome, cool. Well, I'm just not used to hearing myself this good, so I didn't know if I was coming across
and,
right.
And this pretty.
We got a number here. You can give us a call here. It's 530-605-4567. We're happy to take your questions on the air and help you, plan, what you're needing to plan when it comes to buying your house or getting a loan to buy your house. And we live to solve your real estate problems, don't we, Bill?
Real estate is real estate.
Yes, sir. Radio is not the only way you can hear the show. You can catch us on the phone or the computer by going to KCNR1460.com and clicking on the live button. If you miss a show or you want to check out a past show, you can always go to our programming page on that website there and click on the archives as well. So that's all the ways you can get in touch with us.
God, we have archives. I feel so old.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
I love archives.
Hey, how about that weather this week, huh?
Weather was pretty crazy, and you know that the storm that we just had there on Monday. I guess that was a carryover from Hurricane Hillary.
Hurricane Hillary hit Southern California. Mm-hmm. Isn't that where Monica lives?
I think so.
I think so too.
So you know we're going to try something new here. We're going to try 90 seconds of news. And I don't know if I'm completely prepared for this, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a try anyways.
We're going to try something new.
You hear that? You hear that ticking?
I did.
That means the clock has started ticking.
Oh.
Here we go. 90 seconds of news is brought to you by B&T Satellite, the absolute pros in the business with a lifetime of experience. Don't call the 1-800 number. Call Doug at 241-DISH. Of course, that's area code 530. The number one story, the number one story in my book is the India moon landing. They just landed on the south pole of the moon, and it's the first time anybody has landed down there. That's where the sun don't shine. They kind of figured maybe there was some ice pockets down there.
Didn't the Russians crash there too?
You know, the day before, and it makes me wonder if they were trying to beat them.
I think they might have been. Pushed it a little too fast, probably.
All right, story number two is the North State fires. They are still burning away out there.
There's a switch, huh?
Right. Oh, no kidding. The Happy Camp complex is burning, and it's got some containment. I guess they've closed Highway 96 out there. The Smith River complex is like 40,000 acres and no containment. So I wonder if a lot of that is in up in the mountains, you know, where there's not a lot of folks living. But then again, you never know. There's a lot of people out there.
Right. There's a lot of mountains out there, too.
Story number three, Charlieu's is closing.
Are they closing or are they just going? I thought they were just moving down to Anderson or consolidating down to the last one.
I guess that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
The Reading store is closing, and I heard that they're getting ready to sell that, or they received an offer from another local restaurant owner who's owned a lot of restaurants in the last few decades. So yeah. There's a few of those guys out there. You can kind of maybe figure out who they might be.
Right. Yeah. Well, I wish them luck by that whole downsizing thing.
Fourth story, how about Hurricane Hillary? There was a lot of flooding going on down there, and I think they received almost 12 inches of rain, and gusts were up to 87 miles an hour. Not quite as much as the storm that they had there a couple of years ago, I think in 2022, well, last year then. They had, you know, the winds were much more, but this one here, I think, has dropped more rain. So,
well, you know, 12 inches of rain in the desert is a lot of rain. Mm-hmm. That, no matter how, you know, whether it's the big one or not, it's still that's a damage doing amount of rain for sure.
Right.
I mean, we had 9 inches of rain in Cottonwood over a 24-hour period last winter, and it did some damage out my way.
Absolutely, yeah. You were replacing culverts, weren't you?
Yeah, sure was.
All right. Story number five is more than 1,700 acres along Hat Creek have been set aside for protected wild trout water. So there are some fishing access down there that won't be available anymore, but you can still hike down there and check it out and all that. So,
it's going to become closed off then?
Well, just to fishing.
Okay.
Yeah, you bet. So here's two. Well, yeah, I'm showing you, Bill.
You're showing me. I can see it. It's
but beautiful. Yeah, there's a big chunk there that's just south of 299, and it's all closed off. So, anyways, I'm sure I've gone over 90 seconds.
The clock stopped ticking.
It did stop ticking. I didn't hear no alarm or anything, so I guess I'm all right. So, anyways, that is the 90 seconds of news sponsored to you by or brought to you by B&T Satellite. We love those guys. Doug and his crew have been providing services here in the North State for decades now. And he's, the guy's probably installed thousands of dishes all over the place. He used to have a joke that says, we do your dishes, except for maybe your dinner dishes. So, and speaking of which, that's going to be our guest today. Doug's going to come rolling in about on the backside of the hour there, and he's going to share some news with us on what's hot in the home entertainment business these days.
Nice.
Absolutely. Okay, something else that's kind of cool that I'm going to bring to the show here is something we call the ethical standard. And the ethical standard is brought to you by Trinity Lutheran Church, where it's more than just an uplifting experience. Come join us any Sunday at 2440 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
How appropriate.
Absolutely. Yeah, you bet. The ethical standard brought to you by Trinity Lutheran Church. So what I'm talking about here is in the real estate business, we adhere to a code of ethics. And you can find this on the National Association of Realtors website. And I'm also going to post it on my website as well, so you can kind of follow along with us as we talk about these different ethics. So each week, I'll cite a new ethic, and it'll pretty much be in order. So I think I'm going to start with the first one. And some of them make a little more sense than others as far as, trying to explain them. But when you look at our code of ethics, and I won't read this part to you, but there's something called the preamble, and it basically talks about, all of the ethics that we do adhere to, and when we do and when we don't, which is pretty much all the time. There's even when we're acting as regular people out in the world, and not under doing a deal or being a real estate agent or a loan officer, we still act the same way. We have the same code of ethics. We're the same. We try to be good people. We want everybody to trust us on and off of the desk.
Well, I try to be, but I bump my head a lot.
Oh, is that what you're going to use as an excuse? So anyways, the preamble, I'm not going to read that to you. I think that that's quite a big
the
thing.
Preamble, right, what was that, 4 score and 7 years ago? No, that's a different one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like I said, I've been hitting the head a lot. That.
Article 1, this is what we're going to talk about. It's duties to clients and customers. And I'm going to read the first part of it here, and then we're going to jump to a break, and I'll come back and explain what it is. So what it says is, when representing a buyer, seller, landlord, tenant, or other client as an agent, realtors pledge themselves to protect and promote the interests of their client. This obligation to the client is primary, but it does not relieve realtors of their obligation to treat all parties honestly. When serving a buyer, seller, landlord, tenant, or other party in a non-agency capacity, realtors remain obligated to treat all parties honestly. So really kind of what that means is that, if I'm selling your house, Bill, I'm going to be doing everything that I can to make sure that I get the best offers for you, the best
right. You would be working in my benefit.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes.
But I would still treat everybody in the transaction honestly. I would just make sure that your interest was at the forefront.
Well, and that's, that goes along with your loan officer and the other people that you work with in your life, the people that are on your team, like your financial advisor, that kind of thing. You need those kind of people. And that's one of the, I always keep punching this that having somebody local on your team is paramount, where you are always, can have somebody that you can call, that you can trust.
Mm-hmm. Somebody that you have a rapport with.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll come back and talk just a little bit more about that, but right now we're going to blast out to a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Redding, California. This is Tony Horde, your local realtor with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Born and raised right here in the North State and not going anywhere, this is my community from start to finish. I'd like to offer you my service and help you be successful with your real estate goals. But don't just take my word that I'm the best. Interview at least 3 agents when it comes time to sell your home and make sure that I'm one of them. I promise that you'll be impressed. I'm polite, professional, and courteous, and I know how to put my client first. And I don't mind rolling up my sleeves when it comes to you being successful. A wise person once said, a good realtor is not a salesperson, but a problem solver. I solve every problem until escrow is closed. That's my goal. Give me a call at 530-242-1020 and ask me how I can help you. Department of Real Estate, license number 0205.
Now at Turtle Bay Museum, cats and dogs on display now through September 4th, featuring immersive and interactive exhibits, games, and activities all about cats and dogs. Learn about the science and culture behind our domesticated furry friends, great for all ages. And don't miss Turtle Bay's summer animal shows, outdoor playgrounds, gardens, and more, all at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Presented in memoriam by the family of Cheryl Bambauer. Cats and Dogs, the exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my 3 amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding. Okay, here we are coming right back at you, KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And, of course, 605-4567 is the phone number if you want to give us a buzz.
We're here to answer your questions.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we were talking about the Code of Ethics and Standards of Practice of the National Association of Realtors. It's the Code of Ethics that we all adhere to when we conduct business, and it kind of helps us answer any question that we may have, you know, that pops up, you know, that where we think, oh, gosh, should we tell the person this, or, you know, should we treat the transaction like that? You know, we always look to our Code of Ethics and look for the answer in there. It's a handy little guide to have. I mean, it's nice to have it, you know. It's kind of a rule book for how to be I wouldn't say a great realtor, but, you know, one that you can trust anyways.
Well, at least an honest realtor, right?
Right, you bet.
I mean, you know, that's one of the first steps to being a great realtor is honesty.
Absolutely. Yeah. You bet. And I'd have to say that over all the time that I've been in the business and all the realtors that I've met, the majority of them, almost all of them, are that way.
You know? Absolutely,
I've not met any bad ones. You know, so I think that we have a great bunch of realtors that are good, solid people. I model myself after a lot of the realtors in this town.
Oh, there's been some great realtors in this town, and they've been here a long time. There's still, you know, a lot of them are still around, still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You bet, absolutely. Well, what we were talking about was Article 1 I'll say it real quick. I'll read it real quick again. When representing a buyer, seller, landlord, tenant, or another client as an agent, realtors pledge themselves to protect and promote the interests of their client. So that's our main goal when we are doing when you are a client, is to, you always come first. There's no time that I would probably not ever answer my phone. If you call me at 11 o'clock at night, you're my person that I'm to make sure that, everything goes successful for you in your transaction. So, you know, I mean, I always have your best interest in mind. So that's just, that comes from the Code of Ethics, and that's how we build ourselves as being very helpful to you. This obligation to the client is primary, but it does not relieve realtors of their obligation to treat all parties honestly. So, as we mentioned before, we treat everybody the same. We treat everybody with honesty and respect. And
well, there's a lot of people in the real estate transaction There's, I mean, countless people behind the scenes that people don't see. You know, most clients, they, you know, the realtor, the sellers, realtors, the sellers, maybe their financial people, title. But then after that, there's just multitudes of people that are working in and around each one of those, sections that are, you know, back there, and you have to deal with those people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's, you get more flies with honey, right?
Sure. It is amazing how big the team can get.
Very true. People don't know how many people are involved in their real estate transaction.
There can be up to a dozen.
Or more.
Or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you bet. I kind of look sometimes at a real estate transaction like, you remember the show Law and Order?
Bum, bum.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, that half the show was them out on the streets catching the bad guy, and then the other half was what the courts was able to do with them.
Right. I think they should have the part afterwards.
Right.
After they catch them and put them in jail.
Right? Well, like a real estate transaction, you know, we go find your house for you and we find that beautiful house that you want. And we're successful at getting an offer accepted. And then it gets turned over to escrow and the lenders to hammer out the back end of the deal and make it all come true.
And there is always something that's going on with every file. It just amazes me, as long as I've been in the business, how every real estate transaction is different. There's something that's going to be completely opposite of anything that you've ever done before. Hmm. And it's going to come up right at the last second. And, you know, hopefully it's not too big a deal and you can, you know, work your way through it. You know, it's like I likened it to putting out a fire. Mm-hmm. Right. If you put out all the little fires, you don't have a forest fire at the end. Right.
Sure.
So, you know, you're constantly putting out little fires the whole time. So, you know, it definitely makes a difference when everybody's working on all cylinders to make the deal go through. That mm-hmm. includes the client who, you know, once you've made the deal, you know, there's documents and things that need to be provided, and you need to provide them quickly so that they can keep that deal on track. Mm-hmm. Because in most cases, you got 30, maybe 45 days to get that deal closed. And escrow usually runs 30 days, maybe 45. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you want to get all that done and you don't want to wait till the last second. And even a couple of days of delay of receiving a piece of important document, can set it back.
Yeah.
Maybe a week.
You bet.
Yeah.
It seems like 10 days before the close of a transaction, you feel like, we got all the time in the world. Then all of a sudden a week goes by and you're looking at 3 days before the transaction closes and you're like, can we make this happen?
Right. Well, and everybody talks about the closing day, but the day that you really want to think about is your signing day, because it's usually at least a day or two before. And, you know, you want to have everything, you want to make sure you have everything done at least a couple of days mm-hmm. before that happens, because it takes a couple, you know, there's a 3 day period after that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after the closing disclosure is sent, there's 3 days. You've got to wait for the paperwork to get finished up. And of course the period, rescission period. So, usually
escrow still needs a little bit more time past that, too. I mean, it's
absolutely. You know. I mean, and like I was saying, there's always something that happens. Mm-hmm. It never fails.
Oh yeah. That's why I've said it before. We were trained over at our office that we're problem solvers and not salesmen.
That's true.
You know, that's a
constant problems.
Constant problems.
Yep.
I've got a really cool one right now that's kind of a big complex type of a problem, and it's fun to work on. I'm working on it with Tammy Baker over at Placer Title. Get this, I'll run this by you real quick. It's kind of cool. It's three parcels. One is a 20-acre with a pond, and one is a 10-acre that doesn't have anything, and then the other one is a 10-acre that has a manufactured home on it, and that's actually the one with the address. Now, all three parcels are owned by a different family member. And so there's actually five family members in all that own these. So the 10 acres with the manufactured home, that manufactured home used to belong to a tenant that lived there. Well, he passed away, and so then the owner of another parcel bought that from the bank. And really what it boils down to is the owner of the second parcel without the manufactured home, that's the grandmother, and she's actually in charge of all of this, and she's going to sell most all of it. The son owns the 20 acres with the pond, and so he'll get his separate share. But what the challenge was is that the mobile home was just purchased from the bank by the grandmother who owns the other parcel. Her name is not on the parcel that the manufactured home is on.
So she owns the mobile without owning the land.
Right.
Got it.
And so what we want to do to make it to where it's financeable and for somebody else to increase the opportunity of being able to sell it to more people, we want to make sure that it's on a foundation and that it's real property.
So are they putting a foundation under it? Definitely. So it didn't have a foundation before?
No, it didn't, no.
Okay.
So they're going to do that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So that's on. So in order to do that, that has to be in the same name as the person that owns the property.
Sure.
So we were wondering how we were going to get around that, because when you go to the building department to get your permit, that's what they're going to require, is the same name be on the manufactured home as the name that's on the parcel. So talking with...
What'd they come up with?
Well, it was real simple, actually. We'll just do a quit claim. And put the grandmother on the deed that is that owned by the person, the other family member, that the one that has the manufactured home on it.
Right. So now they're both owners of that property.
Right. So she can easily go and get that. And then the other thing was that when we do the listing agreement, when that finally comes about, that all five family members sign the listing agreement, so that when it comes time to do the disbursement and get proceeds out in whatever way that we ask escrow to disperse them, that they'll be able to do that without a problem. And keeping all this in line like that is supposed to make the lender a little happier, because they want to know where all that money is going, and they don't want it to go outside. If there was somebody that wasn't a part of any of the parcels there and that they were going to be getting the money or some money, then that wouldn't be a good idea. I've heard that kind of rubs the lender wrong a little bit. Or
well, they have to have the there's a lot going on with that property. The getting it so that it can be financed will help the lender be happier, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it sounds like to me that with grandma being in charge of everything, is it a trust as well?
No, it's not a trust.
Not a trust. Yeah. Okay. Well, that simplifies it a little bit. But as long as they're all five, you're going to sell it all as one parcel?
Yeah. I mean, it won't be one parcel, but it's all one transaction.
Right. It's one transaction. It's all three parcels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then you're going to have to join it all together for sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in order to get the lender to be happy and fall under all the government regulations that go along with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of a neat, fun, complicated one. It's like a puzzle.
Like I was saying earlier, there's always something. Every mm-hmm. one of them is different. There's something new going on with each and every one, the title people, I don't know how they do it. It's crazy, the stuff that they have to
do. Yeah, I'll bet. That's where it goes down.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I think that once I put my mindset in, once I got the mindset to think about this as being a problem solver rather than these being headaches, that you wish wouldn't come up, it made it easier. I don't mind any of the problems at all. In fact, I consider that the meat and the potatoes of the job. You go to work and you get a phone call that says, oh, we got a big problem. Like, I got a big problem out on a piece of property we're selling right now. They said the easement's not deeded. And we want a deeded easement in order to buy that property. Well, that's just a problem.
Yeah, it can be fixed.
And we'll get on the other side of it. Whatever has to happen, we'll go do, and we'll follow these code of ethics as we're doing it. And everybody will be happy in the end. Everybody will get what they want in the end. And
hopefully.
It'll happen.
Yeah, it's hard to make everybody happy for sure.
Anyhow, I'm going to finish up with these ethics here. We're going to just point out that we're going to start with Standard Practice 1.1, and that reads, realtors, when acting as principals in a real estate transaction, remain obligated by the duties imposed by the Code of Ethics. And all that means is that a principal is typically a client, the person who's selling the property or buying the property. If we're the ones that are buying the property, that just means that we would adhere to the ethics no matter what.
Or selling, because buyer or seller.
Absolutely.
Is the principal. Yeah.
And then with that, we'll cruise on to another break, and we'll come back and keep it going.
Break number two already.
I know it.
What time flies when you're having fun.
I'm having fun.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hey, Redding, California. This is Tony Horde, your local realtor with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Born and raised right here in the North State and not going anywhere, this is my community from start to finish. I'd like to offer you my service and help you be successful with your real estate goals. But don't just take my word that I'm the best. Interview at least 3 agents when it comes time to sell your home and make sure that I'm one of them. I promise that you'll be impressed. I'm polite, professional, and courteous, and I know how to put my client first. And I don't mind rolling up my sleeves when it comes to you being successful. A wise person once said, a good realtor is not a salesperson, but a problem solver. I solve every problem until escrow is closed. That's my goal. Give me a call at 530-242-1020 and ask me how I can help you. Department of Real Estate, license number 0205-7556.
Okay, here we are. We're coming back to the second part of the show. Bill, you just heard that commercial. You think that's, you don't think I'm going too far there? I mean,
No, I don't think so at all. You are saying what you believe there, and that's the way I see, I've done business with you and done, deals, and that's what I see, that right. The way you treat your clients.
All right. Well, cool. Then
I don't think so at all.
I will stay the course. Okay, coming back.
Stay the course, Grasshopper.
Absolutely. KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Living in the North State with Bill Woodford and Tony Horde on a Wednesday night.
Here we are.
Absolutely.
Call us up. We want to answer some questions.
Absolutely. You thinking about buying a house? You think about selling a house? You want to know what's best to do one way or the other?
You got a problem? Maybe we can help you.
I was talking with somebody earlier today, and they were telling me about their son who didn't buy a house when he should have bought a house, and now he can't buy a house because the interest rates are not in his favor. And he
crazy what the interest rates have done.
And of course, the rent is,
even in the last month. Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say. Well, and that brings us to our next little topic. There, I've got our little market report.
Sweet. I always like hearing the market report.
Absolutely.
What's going on in town?
Here it is. The Shasta County Real Estate Market Update is brought to you by Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. We make it our business that you are successful in your real estate goals. Drop by our office anytime at 2650 Larkspur Lane, Suite G in Redding, or visit us on the web at betterhomesinshasta.com. There we go. As of today, there are 678 houses on the Shasta County.
That's up
MLS.
A little.
It is. You
That's
bet.
Good.
I mean, I love that number.
Right.
Say what you will about it. And the statistics, you got to look at all statistics, really know where you're coming from. But back in 22, 20, and 20, right in there, when everything was really hot, I think it was pretty much 21 and 22. There was like 300 houses, 3 to 350.
I remember. Yeah.
But they were selling so fast. I mean, that's the next statistic is that last month we sold 221 houses. So if you keep an eye, we're going to do these same statistics every week now. So, you kind of pay attention to how many houses are selling last month, and that kind of tells you right there how our market is. What I should do is come up with the numbers that we used to have back in 21 and see, I bet you. In fact, I remember that we pretty much sold everything that we had, within the month. So it was around 300.
Well, and that was when rates were still down low and people were able to buy. Mm-hmm. Of course the COVID didn't help because, you know, people were not working and that kind of thing. But, there was certainly a shortage of houses back then, as there still is a shortage of houses now.
Right.
I mean, you know, normally in a normal market, you know, we would be up over 1,000 houses for sale in the market.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And now, you know, we're at roughly half of what we would be normally.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, back in that time we're talking about a quarter of what we originally would have on a market in a normal year.
Well, back before 2008.
Absolutely.
It was around
2400. Which is one of the things I think is why we're seeing that the prices are holding still, because there's a shortage of houses. And that shortage of houses isn't just here in Shasta County. It's all over the country. There's, you know, I've heard the statistic that they could be building full on for the next 10 years and we still wouldn't mm-hmm. be building everywhere in the country. For the next 10 years, and we still wouldn't be putting a dent in
sure.
the shortage that there is of houses for the people,
right,
for the population and the people who want to buy them.
I understand a big impact on that was the crash of 2008, because basically there were a whole bunch of contractors that were fully engaged in building houses, and when that whole thing crashed, we lost an enormous amount of builders and contractors, and they really just hadn't been able to come back.
Absolutely. Well, and the COVID didn't help at all either, because of the supply chain.
Now it
costs you a fortune to build a house, so mm-hmm. of course now builders aren't building beginning price homes. Now they, in order to make money, they've got to be in the $400,000 to $600,000 range in our market.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine what that is in a market like San Jose or the Bay Area or LA.
Sure.
They've got it in order to make money at building those houses. They've got, you know, labor's gone up, the cost of all the materials that go into a house, your light switches and your paint and all that stuff. All of that has sometimes tripled and quadrupled in price because of the supply chain issues and mm-hmm. just the sheer cost of things going up with inflation. And so, it's real tough on the first time home buyer right now who's trying to buy a house in the 350 range or 250 to 350 range,
which
is hardly available.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of that 300 and what was that number? 300 and something? Or 600 and something that we have.
Yeah, 678.
I wonder how many of those are in the opening price range, right? Because that's all the price ranges that all those houses are in. But, you know, there's a shortage, definitely a big shortage of houses, and there's also a big demand for those first-time home buyers who, you know, can maybe qualify for a house in the 350 to 300 range.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and talking about the high cost of building right now. I mean, I've got a piece of property right now listed that we could not get the money out of it that we could have a couple of years ago before COVID. And so we priced it. You know, it's up on Lake Boulevard. It's a little half acre just behind some other complexes or some fourplexes. And it was originally permitted to have two fourplexes there. And the plans were done up, and the utilities were brought in. Basically the water and the sewer, which was pretty expensive because
sure.
they had to dig all that stuff in. And something happened at that time. I think actually the builder passed away, and then of course the crash of 2008. So it sat around till now, and now it's up for sale. And we did the comps on it. We put it out there for $145,000, and it's the market's not going to give that at all. And we've talked to a lot of builders, and they said that because of the cost of building right now, that they would have to get that for just about $100,000 less in order for it to even be, for the numbers to work out for them.
Well, sure. By the time you buy it, build on it, and then try to rent it out or sell it to somebody who's an investor, you know, the rents or the money that it would cost to put that all together is not going to be recouped mm-hmm. by the rents that it's going to bring, especially maybe in a place like up on Lake Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We did the numbers, and it seemed like, you know, once you got the fourplexes built, you know, that the return on investment was there.
Oh, okay.
So it's not bad. It's just, it's not as good as it was a couple of years ago.
Sure.
I did reduce the price down to $99,000 and been getting a few calls, but they're still giving me the same feedback, which is, you know, the cost of building right now is a little bit. It's one of the reasons why they're not pulling the trigger.
So now they want it for $100,000 less than the 99.
No, I'd be losing money right there. Somebody'd be losing money, right? Anyways, let's see what else we got left here. So, again, last month there were 221 houses sold in Shasta County, 9 mobile homes, and 24 vacant lots. The vacant lots can be up to, we wouldn't say sizable chunks of land, but anything from a quarter acre all the way on up to 20, 30 acres. I mean, and it could have been another number too, but basically it's all of that. So, the interest rate is currently 7.58 nationwide. Yeah, that's a scary little number. That's getting a little higher than we really like to see. The average price of a home in Shasta County is $397, and the average price per square foot is $253. Now, a newer home, up to 10 years old, that number is more like about $280.
Sure. So,
and that's a lot of the times, you know, when we see a really nice updated home, that's about where the square footage price is, you know, the price per square foot. It's around 272, and, you know, get a little nicer, you get up into the 290 area. When you get over that, then you got a question. It's like, hey, wait a minute, is this priced right? Because, I mean, if you do the numbers there, and, for example, they want $500,000 for a 1,200-square-foot house, and you do the numbers on that, it'll come up to a whole lot more than $300 a square foot. So
sure.
Instantly you got a question, hey, is this place priced right? Because, an average home, and we're looking right here at these statistics, an average home is $253, so kind of ballpark it. You know, any house that you go look at, and it's, you know what the square footage is, and you don't know what the price is, just divide the square footage by the price, or vice versa there. By the price. Divide the price by the square footage,
mm-hmm.
and then you come up with the price per square foot.
Well, and if you look at that medium price point, it's now hovering at $397, almost $400,000. That's gone up quite substantially compared to what the medium home price for the Shasta area has been in the past.
Oh, absolutely.
So that tells me that prices are still hovering and holding well. So, you know, real estate is still a good investment if you can afford to put it, you know, if you can afford to get into it,
mm-hmm.
it's still a great investment.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it would always be, you know, to consider it always to be a good investment.
I agree. Absolutely.
You know what we like to say in the business, when somebody says that they're renting right now because the interest rates are too high, we say, well, what's the interest rate that you're paying right now? And they say, well, I'm renting. So, well, then that's 100% interest rate.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Some of us are paying 7 and others are paying 100. So
right.
You want to get out from underneath that 100 right now.
Absolutely. And if you are a renter and, the quickest way to, you want to be able to get yourself your own home, you know. Renting has its advantages for short-term types of situations, but for the long-term advantage and financial independence, you definitely want to be buying your own home.
Rent goes up. It can go up. They're legally able to raise the rent 5% every year. And so if they do that, then your rent is steadily going up, and most people in this market are raising the rents. It's really cool when you got a landlord that doesn't do that, you know. But at any rate, my loan for my home that I got about 25 years ago, the payment was $1,200 a month. And that was pretty darn high. I was like, holy cow, I got some roommates and I got past it. But
sure.
You know what the payment is right now?
What's the payment now?
$1,200.
$1,200, that's right.
So 25 years.
And it's almost paid off. So
yeah,
that's going to be going away very soon.
Yeah.
If you haven't refinanced it another 5 years or so, mm-hmm. that payment's going to go to zero.
Right.
And you're going to own your home outright.
Well, I'm going to have to break the news. I did refinance.
You go. Well, hopefully you refinanced it to a lower rate and... You know, did you pull some money out to fix it up?
No, I didn't.
Buy something else with it?
I did. I just got a better rate. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't do too much with it. I think I owe right now less than 100 on it. So
there you go.
I'm doing okay.
So. Right.
Got a little time left to pay it off.
Sure. And then, you know, and a good piece of advice for anybody who has bought a property You know, make extra payments on your, you know, if your payment is $1,200 like Tony's, you know, if you can afford it, make $1,500 on it. And so, you know, that extra $300 a month is, you know, either a full payment per year or more. And then, you know, if you can afford it, when you get your taxes back, make another payment. And that will effectively shorten your loan down by taking it off the principal. And the more you pay down on your principal, the less interest you pay and the shorter your loan is. So, you know, that's the way to get past that whole, you know, paying that huge amount of interest over a 30-year time frame.
That sounds like great advice. I know it is. All right, let's go take a break, Bill, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Ford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding. Had to let that play a little bit, and that's not a cool song. Makes me want right. to break out my drums.
Yeah, you don't want to be playing that song up in Siskiyou County right now.
Right?
Yeah.
Gotta be sensitive. Well, you're listening to KCNR, Living in the North State, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. We're down here to the final wire here, and, you know, I got my calculator out during the break, and I thought, you know, it'd be interesting to see with the average price of a home in Shasta County being $397, and what we know about the square footage as being the price per square foot being $253, I decided to do a little math and see how many square footage that you would get in a house if that was the case. So if it was priced at $397 and knowing that the price per square foot is $253, that number comes out to 1,575 square feet.
So a smaller home in comparison to today's homes, but still a nice size home. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still probably a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house at 1,500 square feet.
Sure. Well, and that's just the average, too. So if you bump that up, getting up into the $290, $300 per square foot, you're obviously going to bump up into the 2,000 to 2,200 square foot homes.
Sure, absolutely.
So those are neat things to take into consideration when we're out looking at homes, or even when we're consulting sellers that are wanting to sell their homes. We bring up these numbers and kind of show them how they work with the market. And so it's kind of fun to do that. You know, it's like, for example, the seller might want a little bit too much for their home, and so I'll show them the square footage and the average price per square foot that this type of a home would gather or would would bear, I guess. Then we look at, we look at what his price is. We do the math on it. We realize, hey, see how much far over the average square price
right.
you are.
So then you throw it up against the comparables that are of the houses sold that are a like kind of that house.
Right.
And, then that's how, that's really how that is determined.
Mm-hmm. Pretty soon you're realizing, hey, that they've got granite countertops and I don't. And I'm asking more for mine than they are. What am I thinking here?
I'm thinking I need to put some countertops in.
Right away.
You know what? If you have a question for us, give us a call.
Even the people that we paid to call.
Right.
You should be calling right now.
I know. You know, that's what happens when good help is hard to find.
Right? That's okay. Well, let's see. That is the end of my little market trend report there, brought to you by Better Homes and Gardens, Results Real Estate, where we make it our business to keep you successful in your real estate goals. So drop by our office over there, 2650 Larkspur Lane, anytime, or check us out on the web at betterhomesinshasta.com.
Or go down to the Anderson River Park and stop by the tent, because
We got our booth set up there.
Has a tent up
right
at the River Jam. That's tonight is the first night of the River Jam.
I think Rich Howe and Scott Frank are down there hanging out right now, listening to the music.
Yeah, hope they got us on the radio down there.
Yeah, no kidding. Cranked up real good.
Right.
We're toying with the idea of broadcasting live down there next week. I just learned really today that the show starts at 5, that the opening acts start at 5. So yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see how that works out. We know that our booth is kind of up and out of the way, so it's not in front of the stage or anything.
Yeah, but it's kind of, the sound can still be there. But, you know, the fact that the microphones and the headphones are close, so you can still do a show with the background music.
We're
going to
give it a try.
Absolutely.
Why not?
I'm looking forward to it.
Just check it out. See what happens. You know, it could be cool or it could not be cool, but I think it'd be cool.
Exactly. I don't know if anybody's seen that, but they've redone the band shell down there at the Anderson River Park, and they did a just incredible job on it. It is so nice down there now.
Wow.
And of course, you know, they just finished up the Mosquito Serenade last week, and the front men were incredible. They put on a great show, and now the River Jam, which is put on by the Anderson Chamber of Commerce, starts tonight, and it goes for next 6 or 7. I'm not sure.
They made it 7 weeks.
7 weeks. Okay. Yeah. So you know it'll go through basically the end of fall. And, you know, so every Wednesday night, free music down in the Anderson River Park. And, you know, where else can you go hang out with 3,000 of your best friends for nothing and enjoy the music?
Yep. And if you're looking to talk to a couple of talk show hosts / real estate professionals, we'll be hanging out in the big green booth that says Better Homes and Gardens.
And we take pictures and sign autographs.
Right. Yeah, you bet. Yep. Well, what else should we talk about?
Hey, you know what? You had a big birthday party for your dad.
Holy cow.
Tell us about that.
All right. Yeah, you bet. I put like 50 hours into preparing for this birthday party. Thanks for reminding me. I wanted to say something. I started working at 7 o'clock in the morning and I finished up at 1:30 in the morning. So I think it's around 18 and a half hours, but man, I couldn't even walk by the end of the day. But anyways, enough about me. My dad walked into this surprise birthday party.
How old is he?
80 years old.
80.
And he's at the VFW Hall or the Veterans Memorial Hall next to the post office downtown here.
A beautiful venue, too, if you've never been inside of it. That's classic. An old building. Been around a long time.
Had a lot of high school dances over there. Everybody I've talked to has gone to a high school dance there except me.
And your dad was spinning the records at the high school hop back in the day, right?
1957.
Yeah. It was his record hop. He was up there spinning the records.
Right. Yeah. That was the whole nostalgia of using that venue. You know, we loved it. I mean, the people were really, really good that we rented it from, and we got it. I had to get insurance and the whole Marianne. It was a big, big thing. And then, of course, we decided, hey, we can cook. We can do that. So we bought all this chicken and 80 pounds of chicken.
The food was phenomenal, by the way.
Cool. Thanks. You know, and our good friends from the Classic Cafe, if you remember that cool place, Millie and Kathy, they were the cooks there, and they took care of everybody, hundreds of people. But anyways, they were there, and they were there for my dad's party. But they used to do all these catering events and stuff, you know. So we went to get some advice from them before we got started, and they said, make a pot of beans,
right?
All right, can't go wrong with a pot of beans. You can't do that, and everybody loves beans.
That's true.
I never would have thought of that. So I made a pot of beans, and you know that pot of beans is gone.
It was close to gone that night.
Yeah. Everybody loved it. I seen everybody walking around with a bowl of beans.
Yeah.
So how cool. And then the chicken recipe I got from my friend Brandon Reed. He had a secret recipe there that was a Hawaiian thing that he picked up one year when he was over there. So
It was very good.
Yeah.
Tasty.
A lot of people thought it was pork. It's so darn good.
Right? Yeah. Very tasty. Yeah. And Dad enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah. He loved it. You know, he the first day he was kind of in shock, you know, and so he was just like, yep, thanks, appreciate it. You know, and then the next day he's like, holy cow, man. He goes, I've been thinking about that. And he goes, I don't know how many people, you know, get to experience that kind of that something. So thank you so much for setting that up.
Very nice. And you know, there was like, I don't know, I didn't do a count, but I'm going to guess there was 70 people there.
I think just a little over 100.
100?
Yeah.
Okay, even better. Yeah, it was a good turnout and a great party.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Thanks. It's like I say, it's amazing how you can probably put 40 or 50 hours into something that lasts for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Oh, very true.
I mean, holy cow. Like you work all the way up to it and then boom, and then you know, work all the way down.
Right. So, well, then, you know, and most people don't realize that, you know, all the work that goes into setting it up and then cleaning it up. Because, you know, everybody mm-hmm. goes to the party and has a great time, and then they go home. But there's always a crew of people left over afterwards to clean up that whole thing.
You know, and I should throw a couple of shout-outs for these awesome people who helped us out. My brother, Jody Horde, who has had a lot of experience in the kitchen, he pretty well ran the kitchen and was a major contender when it came to cleaning the kitchen.
Hardly saw him all night. He was in the kitchen. So
I know. Yeah, he was. He was stuck in there, poor guy. Right. So, anyways, that's what we all did to chip in to make sure it happened. So. Another good guy, Franklin Ryland, was back there. He was he actually came down from Seattle to be at this party, and he spent the majority of it back in that kitchen as well. Well, probably half his time, but he definitely was a major cleaner-upper. I guess he was in the Navy, and he said when you're in the Navy and you're in the kitchen, it's like everything is clean all the time. So
I saw your wife running around a lot, too. She was pretty busy that night herself.
Yep. You saying I should do a shout out to her?
I would if you don't want to be in trouble.
My lovely Wendy Horde, you bet. And I got so many compliments on her, you know, at the time of the party and then after the party. Got a lot of calls the next day, people saying, hey, that was really great. And your wife is awesome. So
nice.
Yeah, you bet. I'm blessed every minute, every day.
Now, who were the people you had singing?
That was Gene Naylor and, Bob Carlini. And Gene Naylor is mom to Ronnie and Donnie and Becky Naylor. And so Donnie was able to make it. I think everybody else was busy doing something. Ronnie was working nights. He works nights. So.
Now, didn't they own a motorcycle shop in town for a long time, or is that the same Naylors I'm thinking of?
It is the same Naylors, but they didn't own a motorcycle shop. They just owned motorcycles.
And oh,
they
okay.
Were, you know, Ronnie Naylor's a world champion motorcycle rider. I think he rode with Can-Am. And he was a major contender. And Donnie loves to joke around and say that when people ask him who he is, he says he's Ronnie's brother. but Donnie's just as capable and everything. He's just an amazing guy. He actually has a backhoe business here in town or excavating business where he basically puts in swimming pools.
Nice.
So he does the dirt work on the swimming pools.
Well, they did a nice job of entertaining the crowd.
Yeah, sure. You bet. Yeah, good family, good people. Well, thanks for asking about that, Bill.
Oh, no problem.
Are you going to go down to the Sunset River Jam?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it. My wife's down there already.
Cool. Well, this is one time that I'm going to follow through and be there.
Sure you are. You keep saying that, but then, you know, you never show.
I know. I get home and I'm like,
right.
Not tonight. We got the tent down there. Rich and Scott are down there, and my wife's gathering up the chairs right now as we speak. And
do we got a guest for next week, or next week is when we're all together, right?
I don't think so. I think we're still one more week, aren't we? What's the date today?
Today's the 23rd, I think.
One more time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So.
And that was we'll have to wing it.
Okay.
Maybe we'll ask